Welcome to Lessons I've Learned, a series of podcasts by global consultant, best-selling author, and former Harvard Business School professor, David Maister.
Hi, I'm David Maister, and this is Lessons I've Learned. This particular series is on how to develop your business through marketing, client service, and client relations. This particular episode is called The Practice Development Package, and is based upon materials contained in my book, Managing the Professional Service Firm. In this episode, we'll explore the different range of activities you can engage in to develop your business. And this episode is number 2 of the series of 14. This episode is about the 5 groups of activities you need to engage in to have a balanced approach to building your business. The 5 activities are broadcasting, which is generating leads and inquiries from new clients. Courting, which is pursuing those leads and inquiries once they occur. Super pleasing, which is achieving high levels of client satisfaction on the current job once it has started. Nurturing, which is growing relationships by activities beyond what you are doing on the current assignment. And then finally, listening, which is trying to find out what your clients really are trying to buy. Now, it turns out that there is a logical order in which you need to pay attention to these things, and it's close to a reverse of the order in which I've just listed them. You must, in fact, start by being good to listening to your marketplace and understand what they are trying to buy. There's an old saw that says in marketing that as long as they are talking, we're winning. As long as you are talking, you're losing. And that's basically the spirit in which these things have to be considered, which is the more you understand what the buyer is trying to buy, the more you can subsequently say and do the right things. So later in these episodes, we will go into detail about what is involved in good listening to clients' activities. The next step would be super pleasing, or achieving high levels of client satisfaction once you have started a job for a client. There's another old saying in professional services that if you do great work, the clients will come. Well, it's close to the truth. It's not precisely correct. It's not just that the work must be great. It is that the work and the service is great. That if anyone ever were to call one of your clients and say, "What was your experience with that person? Would you recommend them?" If your client were to say, "They were fabulous. Don't bother talking to anybody else. Trust me, they are the ones you should go with," then I promise you, you will need to invest very little time in any other kind of marketing. You could push that thought perhaps to a little bit of an extreme, but it's not far from the truth. If you have a very high percentage of clients going, "Wow, these people are truly special," then you may not need to do any other kind of marketing. You may not need ever to write a proposal in your life. You may not have to engage in any kinds of sales calls. So the first place after listening to really focus on is, are we doing everything we know to achieve not just satisfactory levels of client satisfaction, but are we truly leaving the clients going, "Wow, they were special"? Now, the third area of importance is, after you've done everything you can think of in super pleasing, the next area of attention is nurturing the existing clients and growing the relationships. Now, what I'm trying to say is that if you're sensible, you will give prior attention to marketing to existing clients rather than first chasing after new clients. If you do a poll amongst most professionals, they will agree with that intellectually. They'll say that marketing to existing clients is more probable, more likely to succeed. They will also agree that the work you get as follow-on work from an existing client is more likely to be profitable. You'll have less fee sensitivity in a follow-on job from an existing client than you will from a first job from a new client when you're competing with other providers. And there's a third aspect which makes the follow-on work even more attractive, and that is that in order to grow your professional career, you need to achieve not only more volume of work, but you need to bring in the kind of work which stretches your skills. And that, by the way, leaves you with somewhat of a paradox in marketing professional services. And the paradox is that if you are going to grow your skills, you need somebody to trust you with something you have not done 20 times before. And the truth is that who is that person who is going to trust you with something you've not done before? And the answer is, with great probability, it is more likely to be an existing client than it is to be a new client. So hence this conclusion that before you even consider any new clients, the next question you must ask yourself is, are we investing the appropriate amount of time in growing the key relationships we have that have the opportunity to develop more future business for us and turn an individual transaction into a relationship? Now, the reason I'm stressing this point is that whilst most people tend to agree with it, there's something rather sad which is actually happening in most professional firms, and to be honest, with most individual professionals, which is they say they believe that marketing to existing clients is more probable and more profitable and can generate better work. But if you look at where they're actually putting their time, the truth is they're spending a lot of time chasing rabbits in the bushes. They have good intentions to nurture an existing relationship, but the minute a new proposal opportunity comes in over the transom, they immediately call the existing client and say, "Sorry, beloved client, can't keep that lunch appointment we had. Catch you next month." And then they go off and spend the entire day on a 1 in 6 chance at 80% of standard fees trying to land the new person. It seems as if many people operate on the principle that there's more fun and excitement trying to chase after those we're trying to seduce for the first time than those we're already married to. Well, I can't really tell you where the thrills are in life, that's not my job, but I can tell you the healthy way to live, and the healthy and profitable way to live is focus first on growing your relationships. Focus on the nurturing before you do any of the new client marketing. Well, having done that, let's turn now to the new client side, if you're sure that you've done what you should. And now comes the time to start worrying about pursuing the opportunities that you already have. Because if you've done good super pleasing and you've done good nurturing, word will begin to have spread about you and you will be getting opportunities. So in other words, the next port of call is what we've called courting, which is making sure that when you get an inquiry, you turn it into a landed job. And this courting is what most other people would call sales, but I prefer the word courting because the essence of the job is somebody has contacted you, might be interested in engaging in a relationship with you, but what you've got to do is persuade this person that you are worthy of the trust and that they want to choose you as the person that they want to have a relationship with. So when we dig into this topic in future episodes, I'm going to encourage that we drop the word selling and try and think of the word courting, persuading another person, a stranger, to enter into a relationship with you. At last, we get round to the topic of broadcasting, which is adding the time to generate new leads and new inquiries. Now, alas, this is what many individuals and many firms do first. It's things like putting on seminars and writing articles and giving speeches. And these are good activities. I'm not trying to put them down. I'm merely trying to point out that they represent our fifth category of activities and that they are probably the lowest return on investment. Think about it this way. Imagine a little grid in your mind. You have a choice of putting your time between an existing client or a new client. Where do you think you're going to get the highest return on your time? An hour spent trying to grow the existing relationship, or an hour spent trying to win the hearts and minds of somebody you've never met before? Consider the other side of the grid. The other side of the grid is somebody who's already aware of a need, knows they need some help, versus somebody who's not aware of a need. Now, if you take the two sides of the grid, one of the boxes you get is non-clients or prospects who are not yet aware of a need. And I would suggest to you that this is in fact the lowest probability place in marketing. And yet, if you look at what many individual professionals and many firms are doing, this is exactly the kind of marketing that they tend to stress. Let's go out into the community, give love and attention to people we have no relationship with, who as far as we know are not aware of a need, and let's sell them something. Well, I'm being silly, and I don't mean to say it's immoral, but I do stand by the point of view that this is the act of a desperate man or a desperate woman. It's what you do when all the real stuff has failed. So there you have it, 5 different areas where you can put your time. In order of importance, listen to your clients, make sure they are absolutely delighted with you, with the work that you've done. Focus on growing the relationship by investing in the relationship beyond the job. Make sure that when somebody does call you, you know how to court them and romance them well. And finally, and only finally, get good at broadcasting your message to the outer world. As you think about this package of five activities, listening, super pleasing clients, nurturing the relationship, generating leads, and pursuing leads, you might want to think about, first of all, what grade would you give yourself in each of those five areas? And secondly, you may want to think about that if you added up all of the non-reimbursed or non-billable time that you spent trying to grow your business, what percentage of time would you allocate to each of those five activities? Now, obviously, given the broad range of people who might be listening to this podcast, it's a little silly of me to offer any generalizations, but I guess I am that dumb, so I'll go ahead. As I think back to what I have been seeing out there in the world, these are the sorts of things that I think represent a sensible balance package for most professional environments. If I were you, I'd probably invest 10% of all of my non-reimbursed, non-billable time in gathering client intelligence, listening to clients, trying to find out what they want and what they think. I'd probably spend 20% of my time, of my non-billable, non-reimbursed time, topping up the budgets that I had on the current jobs to turn an otherwise happy client into a delighted client. In other words, I'd be willing to spend 20% of my non-billable time giving away for free to existing clients on current jobs just to make them extra happy. And that's not because I'm noble, it's because, as we have argued, that is where you get a huge return on investment by turning your clients into your advocates. The next place I'd put my budget is I'd spend about 30% of my time on what we've called nurturing activities, the existing clients beyond the current job, just investing time getting to know their business and getting to know more about them so that I can grow the relationship and do other things for them. I'd save 30% of my time for what we've called here courting, or the sales process once a lead has been generated. That takes time, and you need at least 30% of your non-billable budget in order to do selling well. Now, if you add all those up, that leaves you about 10% of your total non-billable time to generate leads. And I think that's about right. Now, unfortunately, generating leads sounds like the beginning of the process, and many firms end up over-investing in that area. And I just believe that if you think through where the return on investment really is, you will find you cannot afford to spend too much time at the beginning stage of generating a lead. There is just too much that needs to be done once the lead has been generated. The final thought I'll leave you with is a principle that was written about by a guy named Jerry Weinberg, who wrote a book called The Secrets of Consulting. And he invented the raspberry jam principle. The wider you spread anything, the thinner it gets. The principle is, you mustn't chase after too many opportunities all at the same time. Whenever you take any approach to marketing, you must pick your shots reasonably carefully, because you've got to put your raspberry jam in tasty enough clumps to be attractive. The biggest mistake that I see firms make out there is they're doing a lot of marketing, but it's kind of random, it's a little bit for a lot of people, and none of it ends up being tasty. You really must think through, where is the best place to put my marketing effort and which proportion of each category is really going to serve my interest best. In future episodes in this series, we're going to dig into the practical tactics on what works in each of the five categories we have discussed today. I'm David Maister, and this has been Lessons I've Learned. Thanks for listening. If you found this podcast helpful, go to my website, davidmaister.com, where you'll find many other resources covering these and many other topics.